our services today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for those that are traveling. We've got the Jeffries town in Texas, and they'll be traveling back this afternoon, so pray that they'll be safe. And remember Brother Carl is in the hospital with a major infection. We really need to pray for him and the doctors, that they'll be able to figure out what the problem is and get it out of town. And so they're working diligently on that, but be praying for him. He's hurt in a great deal of pain, and Miss Evelyn is there taking care of him. So we're so remember, check your announcements in the bulletin. We have a baby, which we all know, but maybe some folks that are watching on Facebook don't know yet. So we're so happy for to welcome her, and I look forward to being able to hold her and see her before too long. And just had pictures on Facebook, and that's been good. And a special call business meeting Wednesday night, and there'll be some samples of flooring out in the vestibule. You can check those out. Also remember, this is Home Missions Month. We'll say more about this over the next few weeks, but this church was founded by the Home Missions Department of Mississippi Free Will Baptist. And so we are a product of home missions and church planting. And so are we grateful that our church is here? Yes, we are. I'm thankful for our church, and I know you are as well. And, you know, how different our lives would have been. You know, maybe we would have found a church somewhere else. Maybe some of the folks that found the Lord here over the years would have found him someplace else, but maybe not as well. And so this church has had an important part to play in the Lord's plans over the years, and we want to be able to help that go forth and see more church. There's even in Mississippi, there's a lot of areas where there's not just a Free Will Baptist church, but there's no church. And it's hard for us to fathom in the southeast of the United States, but there are places that that don't have a gospel witness in the United States still today. And so the work is not finished yet. So remember that men's meeting on the 10th Tuesday, and several other announcements in there, so be sure to take note of those. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 15. I want to speak to you this morning, this morning's message, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We all grew up probably watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Brother George, you didn't watch Mr. Rogers? No, you were pre-Mr. Rogers. But I bet your kids watched it. You watched it with your kids growing up. And, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But, yeah, so but Mr. Rogers was an interesting character. But Leslie and I saw the biography about his life. There have been a couple movies come out lately. And he was a very interesting person. A Presbyterian minister, and did a lot of good things. But one thing, you know, in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was kind of for its time in a lot of areas groundbreaking, because they were a place that welcomed. He had a diverse neighborhood, didn't he? And he had people from all kinds of different backgrounds that he would visit on his show, and or they'd go to the, you know, land of make-believe with the trolley and all those kind of things. But what the neighborhood there was a good place, because there was unity and people got along. There was love, and I think those are the kind of things that God desires for all of us to know. Our world certainly is not a loving neighborhood today. There's a lot of turmoil going on in our world. But I think we all would agree that it would be better if it was a more unified and together neighborhood, and that we loved one another, and that there was a lot more peace in the world today. And how does that happen? Well, Paul gives us some suggestions on how God's people help that to happen, and how God, you know, the answer is not government, it's not politicians. In fact, politicians generally create more problems than they ever solved, as a general rule. You know, our hope should not be in politicians. It shouldn't be in a political party. It shouldn't be in, you know, anything but Christ, because he's never changing. But he also is the one that has the power and the ability not only to transform lives, but transform communities, neighborhoods, and our world. You know, only, but it doesn't happen overnight, does it? It happens by one heart being changed and transformed. And that one heart, as we've talked about on Wednesday night, sharing the gospel and those kind of things. How does the gospel spread? By one person telling another person. And that person, and so there's that multiplication factor that happens. And so in Romans chapter 15, rather, Paul is wrapping up his letter to the church at Rome. And let's take a look at what he says. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God in his mercy, as it is written. For this reason I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again he said, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So God does this wonderful reminder for us about how we are to be God's people, and what it is that we're to be seeking after. What does he say? He said the answer is not building a big church. The answer is not, by the way, getting your way all the time and you know, thinking you're right. The way to having a beautiful neighborhood, he said, is receiving one another just the way that Christ receives you. So how does Christ receive you? Does he make you put on airs before he receives you? Does he make you clean up? No, he receives you just as you are. But even though, and by the way, Christ does receive us just as we are, and that's wonderful news for all of us. But even better news for all of us is that he does not leave us like he found us. He changes us and transforms us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we are new creature. We've been, all the old has passed away. All things are made new. And so a few things this morning quickly about how we find a beautiful day in the neighborhood of God's kingdom. And the first is this, that we're concerned about our neighbor's edification. Our neighbor's edification. Paul says, receive. I think you went one too far, Brother Rodney. What we need to understand is that in Paul says, edify one another. He said, receive those that are weaker. Remember, he talked about that last week as we looked at chapter 14. He says, those of you who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. Well, that word scruples, is that interesting? It just simply means the weaknesses and imperfections of those who are not mature in Christ. And so that means that as we seek to build a beautiful day in God's neighborhood, that we are willing to say, you know what? You know, I have my desires and my preferences, but that's not what's important. The main thing is that Christ is lifted up and that others are lifted up and see Christ through my actions, through my words, through the way that I live my life. That's something that all of us have to struggle with, because all of us have that selfish gene inside of us. And though it becomes partly redeemed when we come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, it still likes to rear its ugly head sometimes. And so sometimes, you know, in church especially, you know, we say, I want my way. Well, the preacher didn't do it the way I want, so I'm leaving. I know a church, in fact, it was the first church that I went to after I graduated from Bible College, Turner's Chapel in Butler, Georgia, out in the country. There are families in that church that left the church because of the color of the stove that they put in the fellowship hall that was given to them by the gas company there in town, donated this. And it was a beautiful, nice stove. They didn't have to pay for it. And so, number one, it doesn't matter, you know, the color of a stove or the color of carpet or anything. That, I mean, who cares? But especially when you don't have to pay. If you've had to buy a gas oven, you know how expensive they are. So who cares what color it is? It could be pink. Well, maybe not pink, but you know, but to leave a church over that? Or let me say, you know what, preacher, I really don't like those worship songs that we sing. You know, our response to that ought to be, well, they're not for you. They're for the Lord. You know what? We have people that are very diverse in our church, and some people like one kind of music, some like music. But regardless of what music that glorifies God and helps people come to find Him, that's all that matters. And so I'm not a big bluegrassy fan, but listen, if bluegrass song is going to lead somebody to Jesus, I say sing it loud and sing it proud. If it's going to be a, you know, Skillet song, which probably, Sarah's probably the only one who knows who Skillet is, but, all right, you go, Miss Holly. All right, so if it's a Skillet song that's, hey, if it glorifies Jesus, okay. Because we have to remember, it's not about me. It's about Jesus, and it's about my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Think about how many fights and squabbles not only that go on in the church. We read through Paul's letters, especially the next letter in our Bible, 1 Corinthians, and read about some of the really petty arguments that were going on in the church. And by the way, it hadn't gotten any better over the millennium. We still think about in church and at home and at work, the majority of things that we squabble about really don't amount to much in the grand scheme of things. They're molehills that we make into men. Now, there are hills that we need to die on. And there are things worth arguing about. The color of the stove is not one of them. We need to be concerned about one another and lifting one another up. John Wesley, the 18th century British preacher and missionary to America, in a sermon on this passage of Scripture says this. I think the quote's there, but let me read it to you anyway. It says, "We are directed to please them for their good, not barely for the sake of pleasing them or pleasing ourselves, much less of pleasing them to their hurt, which is frequently done, indeed continually done by those who do not love their neighbor as themselves. Nor is it only their temporal good which we are to aim at in pleasing our neighbor. But what is of infinitely greater consequence, we are to do it for their edification in such a manner as may conduce them to their spiritual and eternal good." So in other words, we're supposed to not just, part of edification, not just making people feel good or do what they want, but to be looking out for their own, for their betterment. To, you know what? Lost people, they're not looking for the Lord. They're not chasing after the things of God. If they were, they'd be in church and, you know, they'd be finding God. But part of us being concerned about our neighbor is loving them enough to be a gospel witness in this community. And to share God's love with them. Invite them to come to know Jesus Christ the way that we do, as personal Savior. And so our neighborhood becomes better when we're concerned about our neighbor's edification rather than our own fulfillment. Secondly, not only are we to be concerned and work for our neighbor's edification, but we're to work for our neighbor's unification. Paul says in these 13 verses that we read that we are to be weak and strong are one in Christ. And when we're concerned about one another, there's harmony and there's unity. And so he says, "Receive one another just as Christ received us to the glory of God." And so he says, "My prayer that you with one voice, with one mind, that you would be together." And there is something that this time in our American history has shown, and we are a very divided nation. And unfortunately, sometimes that seeps into the church. But as a nation and as God's people, we stand united. What's the old saying? Divided we fall, but united we stand. When you walk through the doors of this church, we all don't just all of a sudden have, the same brain. In some ways, some days I think that would make my life and job easier, but then other days, that probably would not be good. For y'all to have my brain, because I need your brains as well. So we're all different, and we have different ideas and different perspectives, and that's a good thing. We all have, if George and Rodney and I were in charge of making the sleigh float, I guarantee it would not be near as beautiful as it is. But you ladies did a great job. You know, our ladies last night did a great, it's beautiful. It's all sparkly, you know, it's bright, and actually looks like a sleigh. No telling what if Rodney and I and George got to it, you might say, what on earth is that supposed to be? God had designed us to, you know, generally speak, you know, the ladies are more gifted in artsy things and are, you know, how to make things symmetrical and those kind of things. And that's good. We need that, don't we? But we also need, you know, muscle and guys that can drill together a manger out of some 2x4s. And so it's not that we're all exactly the same and we've got one brain, but we recognize that we have one Lord and one purpose. A church of 30 members does not have 30 purposes. When it does, it's in big trouble. But when a church of 30 has one purpose and they're united together with that, then God is able to do great and amazing things with that group of people. And so Paul says, listen, I want you to be like-minded toward one another, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that everything that you do, and how you live, and how you're united. See, there's no other institution in the world where rich and poor, white and black and Hispanic and Republicans, Democrats sit together. But you know what? The body of Christ does that. It brings people of all nations, and all tongues, and all political stripes. You know, wacky conservatives and wacky liberals together. What can bind them together? Christ. And Christ is more important, much more important than any political agenda that anyone might have. And so Paul says, listen, my prayer is that together you can glorify God. You can say, you know what? Brother so-and-so gets on my nerves, and sister so-and-so gets under my skin, but we can come together and praise God together, and we can count each other as family, and I know that when brother getting under my skin needs something, that he can call on me, and vice versa. Because we're the family of God, and we're united together. And so Paul said, listen, remember that it's, and by the way, not just, you know, the idea of people that are the same as us coming together, but different. He said, he mentions here, from Isaiah, from the Psalms, from 2 Samuel, from several Old Testament scriptures, how God has always been not just the God of Israel, but the God of all nations, the God of all people. And so the Gentiles would rejoice as well as part of God's people. And so that brings me to the last point in the message this morning, and that is that it's a beautiful neighborhood when we work for our neighbor's edification, for our neighbor's unification, and lastly, our neighbor's celebration. Our ultimate purpose, and the thing that must be most important, not only in our church, but in our life, and in our ministry, and our priorities that we set, must be lives being transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. People coming to know Jesus. If people coming to know Jesus is only a peripheral thought, guess what? People aren't going to come to Jesus. Because we're not going to do anything to help them come to Jesus because we're not being intentional about it. But, let me say, you know what? There's the neighbor that lives next door to me. There's people that live within walking distance of this church who are lost. and unsaved and going to hell. And when we together say, you know what, we're concerned about that, and we make it a matter of prayer, and we do things that intentionally help us build relationships and give us opportunity to share the gospel with people that we know, guess what happens? People come to know the Lord. Do they come as quickly as we would like them to? Nope. My desire is that this church would be filled every Sunday with people, and that we'd have to start a building campaign and say, we need to build another bigger church. They won't all come, and it doesn't come quickly. But you know what? Very, very, very few valuable things happen quickly. Most things that are worthwhile take effort, and they take time, take money, take blood, sweat, and tears sometimes. But those things, because you spent the time and were intentional about and put the effort in, what happens? When the job's completed and you realize the mission, guess what? There's a great celebration. And it is good and right for God's people to celebrate when God does things in our life. We're in the month of Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to be thankful for as God's people. Those that don't know the Lord have a lot to be thankful for. Most of them just don't know it or realize it. And you're reminded that Scripture says that every good thing that you have, it didn't come from you, and it didn't come from Walmart. Where did it come from? It came from the hands of the Lord. Every good and perfect gift, God's Word says, is from the Lord. And so he said, listen, we shall... You know, there's hope, there's peace, there's unity, there's togetherness, there's... You know, the power of God working in our neighborhood because God is with us. And that's something to celebrate. It's something to be glad about. And so his kind of starting to wrap up conclusion, sometimes when preachers say in conclusion, they don't actually mean in conclusion. And some of you realize that. I try not to do that, but sometimes I'm guilty of that too. But in this wrapping up of conclusion in verse 13, he said, now may the God of joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the power of the Holy Spirit. So how is it that we accomplish a beautiful day in the neighborhood? Well, we remember we have hope. Not because of who president is, not how much money we have in the bank or the job that we have, but our hope is in Christ. And no matter what goes on in this crazy, nutty world, in this insane year of 2020, Jesus is still Lord. And nothing's going to change that. So there are people running around, you know, Yutz is on the radio and television, different places, you know, crying out the world's ending, and you know, it's, you know what? The world is ending, but not because of how American elections went, but because Jesus Christ is coming again. And that's our hope, to know that this world is not our eternal home. That regardless of what's going on in our world, God is still God. Jesus is still Lord. And friends, that's something we're celebrating. That's something we're saying, listen, praise God that God loves me enough and God's working in my life, that God cares about me. And God works in my life God is concerned about me, and the things that I'm concerned about, God's concerned about. And the problems that we have, God is able to do something about, no matter what they are. But the beautiful day in the neighborhood does not come by our own power. It does not come by power or might. It comes by God's Spirit. And may God's Spirit rule and reign in our life more and more, so that we are more concerned with our neighbor's edification, that God's kingdom may come. And may God's Spirit work and build in our life that we are concerned about our neighbor's unification, that the kingdom of God might come. And might we work in the power of the Holy Spirit to work toward our neighbor's celebration, that we would see people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and find an eternal home because of the ministry of this church and because of the ministry of other churches that are spreading the gospel, not only in our community, but around the world. That we're one. Though we have differences of opinion, even within this church there's differences of opinion, but there's probably 8 or 9 churches within just a mile or two of this church. There's Baptists and Methodists and Catholic Church. And those churches that preach the gospel, and they're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we're on the same team. And what a wonderful thing it is. And people notice when churches can come together and, you know, people even within the same church come together and make a difference, the world notices. They may not let you know that they notice, but they notice. And it has an impact on them. So God will help us to remember those good, important truths. So let's stand together and we'll be dismissed for Sunday school this morning. Brother George, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?